Hasn't the weather been incredible? You love the warm weather we're having?
Yeah.
You know, and I've had people say, oh, it's been so hot. And I'm thinking like, don't complain about it being hot. And if you complain about it being hot, then don't complain this winter if you think it's still chilly for you. And it's just a great day to be alive, and it's so honored. I'm excited. My name's Mark, if you're new here, and I'm one of the pastors on staff. And we're live stream right now. We're recording for live stream. Would you give it up for those watching the live stream right now and thank them for joining us? And we stream into correctional facilities across the state of Alaska, and so we're honored that those in correctional facilities are joining us as well today. And we're in a series called Possibilities. And we're looking at the book of Joshua, and Joshua is a crossover book. God's people, the Israelites, had been from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's really it's a story of the history of Israel being called out as God's people, journeying toward the promised land, and they never make the promised land. The book of Joshua is when they finally cross over and all that God has for them. The book of Exodus, they're delivered from bondage, and they're on their way to the promised land. And they never get there until Joshua leads them over. And it's a picture of the historical narrative of Israel, but it's also, I believe, a picture of us. We can have a relationship with Jesus and not possess all he has for us. How many want to possess all God has for you? Everything he has for us. And so I'm going to look tonight at a portion of our text, and we'll be in the book, this series called Possibilities for a season here, where we're looking at the possibilities God has for us. I believe God has more for us than some of us have learned to appreciate and assume as our rightful inheritance. Joshua chapter 1 verses 3 through 9, it says, I will give you, this is God speaking through to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. What he's saying is, hey, here's the GPS coordinates for the promised land that I've given you. How many want to know? There's not just the promised land, but there's boundaries for that land. It's not like, hey, there's this thing out there, it's everything. No, this is what it looks like. There's boundaries, and he names the boundaries, and he goes on and says this, no one, say no one. Listen to this promise. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Now, how many want to know? That's a good promise right there. What he's saying is there's no power outside beyond you that's greater than the power that's in you and beyond you. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. How many want to know there's no power? He's promising them protection. Say protection. Protection. Aren't you glad God still promises protection? He said, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Another time, a promise. I was with Moses. The presence of God is with him. How many want to know we take the presence of God with us too? And it goes on and says this, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And then it goes on and says, be strong and courageous. Say, be strong. There's a series of three of these promises or challenges. Be strong and courageous. Three of them. We're going to look at those tonight or today. We're going to look at those three promises of be strong and courageous. God's given them a land to inherit. God's presence is going with them. But he says, hey, be strong and courageous. Number one, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. He's saying, be strong because there's a land you're going to cause and lead people to inherit. And then he says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful. Anyone want to be successful? Now that word for successful right there, that word successful, actually means wisdom. It actually means you'll know what to do. How many want to know success isn't always, in our culture, success is money and status and all those things. But he says, hey, if you obey the law of Moses, you'll be successful. In other words, you'll have wisdom to know what to do. He says, you'll be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. You see a pattern here? Say, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now I want to look at this text tonight. And I want to look at this. There's three times God says to Joshua to be strong and courageous. And I believe there are three ways that God can speak to us to be strong and courageous. The first way God speaks to him was to be courageous, have courageous influence to lead God's people to. And I want to walk through a few things he leads them to. How many want to know it takes strength and courage to go where you've never gone? God's asking Moses to lead his people to a place they've never been before. Now, who's he leading? He's leading the Israelites who for 40 years have done what? They've marched around the wilderness for 40 years and they've seen all of their parents die in the wilderness, all their grandparents die in the wilderness because of their parents' choices and sin. They marched around, they did 40 years of wandering. And he's asking them to go somewhere they've never gone before. How many want to know, how many of you have a history of wandering? Some people say the Israelites marched around the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't. They marched around the wilderness once and repeated the same experience 40 times. Every year they marched around. Some of us are in these cycles like this and we never go forward. We never move forward. And it takes courage and strength to influence people. Our families, our siblings, our people around us, our coworkers, and sometimes those we live with, and sometimes our own self. It takes strength and courage to influence us to go where we've never gone before. Some of us live in ruts. You know what a rut is? A rut's a grave with both ends knocked out. And God has taken, God's called us to go where we've never gone before. Why? He's asking them to go smell some sights they've never smelled, see some things they've never seen, experience some things they've never experienced before. And if you want to experience all that God has for you, it might take some strength and courage to get out of a rut to go where you've never gone before. The second reason he needed strength and courage, and we do as well, is number two, we need to overcome the manna mentality. Now let me explain this. For 40 years, how did the Israelites eat? They woke up every day, and when the dew settled on the ground, there was manna. They'd go pick the manna for that day, and I don't know if they boiled it, they deep fried it, they wrapped it, I don't know if they made it into tortillas or bread, but they had the same thing for 40 years. You know what Moses did for 40 years? Moses' job for 40 years was to hear the complaints of the Israelites' menu. They complain all the time. One time they complain, well, I just wish we had more than manna. I wish we had meat. I wish we had quail. And God says, I'll give them more quail. It'll come out of their nostrils. He was so angry with them. For 40 years, they're complaining about their food and wanting to go back to Egypt where they had more spices and leeks and onions and garlic and all this stuff. And Moses was there because in their minds, you have to understand, for 40 years, in their minds, Moses' job was to take care of their needs. And if you want to cross over from where you are to where God wants you to be, you might have to break your manna mentality that says leadership exists just to meet my needs. At some point in your life, if you want to cross over from where you are to where God wants you to be, you might have to realize you can't be self-centered and take new territory at the same time. God was asking them to cross over. And for 40 years, see, don't miss out on this. Most of us can't see beyond our hungers and our needs. We have a manna mentality. Well, they don't feed me, or they don't do this, or they don't do that. And there's nothing wrong with having our needs met. The challenge is when we get our eyes on ourselves, we forget about other people. Which is why we talk all the time at True North Church about reaching people's needs outside the walls of our church, because church does not exist just to meet our needs. And we say all the time, we are not consumers here. We don't have a manna mentality. We have a give mentality. We're contributors. We give. And if you sit in the pew too long, you get what here at True North? Pewy. Okay, the third thing that you have to have influence to lead God's people to is to overcome the trappings and shortcomings of their past. As Joshua was leading Israel, again, for 40 years, they marched around in a circle, And we know Moses was the leader, but Moses went up to the mountain, and we read about that a week ago. If you weren't here, listen to the podcast. But he went up and got, he died at 120 years of age, and God buried him. No one ever found his grave. And he needed strength and courage because he's going to lead God's people now past their shortcomings. When I say that, it says in Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 13, if you remember the story, Moses sends out 12 spies and to spy out the land that was flowing with milk and honey. Come tell us about it. 10 of them came back and said, we can't go. They're too big. And Joshua and Caleb says, no, let's take it. God will give us the land. Remember the story? And in chapter 14, this is the summary. God says this over the whole nation. He says, your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness. So this generation that God's gonna have Joshua lead into the promised land, they have been suffering for someone else's choices for years. Now, how many wanna know? It's one thing to suffer for your choices and your sins. It's a whole nother thing to suffer when other people's choices and sins. And so Joshua had to have strength and courage, lead these people into the promised land, but you're gonna have to help them get past the mentality that the man is always gonna be there. They're gonna have to actually start to cook their own food, you know, plow their own ground, dig their own wells. And on top of that, they're gonna have to get past the fact that they've had a failure process where all they've seen is people die. And in other words, they lead them from victimhood to victoryhood. And sometimes you see this when people go, well, if only this would have happened, or if, you know, you ever met the woulda, coulda, shouldas? I would have been better, I could have been better, I should have been better, but this didn't happen. Or if only I would have done this, if only I would have had this family, if only I would have had this break, or the what ifs, what if this would have, I mean, and you live with that, and Joshua had to come in to this mentality and say, this is the land we're going, this is the GPS coordinates, these are the boundaries, let's go. God's with us, but God says, be strong and courageous because you're going to lead these people into this land and nobody's gonna be able to stand against them. We need strength to influence people. And friends, we're doing this series called Possibilities because I believe this is a prophetic picture, a prophetic word for you as God, as Christ followers, but also a picture of our church. I believe we're called to influence people. I believe we're called to make a difference. How many of you guys believe that? We're a city church. We're a church not just in our city, but for our city. We're a church for the state of Alaska, not just in the state of Alaska. We have 8 people right now to do Mega Sports Camp in New Ixit. I drove by Denali Elementary. It's a school that we partner with here in town. And there's a brand new principal, and I knocked on the door. She saw me. She ran out. She gave me a hug. She's, I've been wanting to call you to let you know I'm the new principal. We have some needs. Do you think you could still help? Yes. We're like, yeah, we can help. She says, can you sponsor the ice cream feed for our open house for all the parents and the siblings? We said, yeah. What is it? It's how do we influence? But we influence, we can't be thinking about all the past and the challenges. We gotta be thinking about the territory God has. The second way God called, he said to be strong and courageous, was be courageous in your knowledge and obedience to God's law. Let's read this. He says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey. Say obey. He said what? Be careful to obey the law. Obey means to do. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. So in other words, obey it, watch it, don't turn to the right or to the left, do exactly what it says. And then it says this, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep, say keep. There's obey, there's don't turn to the right or left, keep it. And that word keep means to guard like a watchman. You guard that law. You keep it within you. You hold tight to it. You grab a hold of it. And he says this, the law always, and keep it on your what? What? Lips. Remember Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses told Israel, to obey, be careful to obey everything written in the law. So when you go to the new land, you'll live long for you and your generations. And it says this, so tie it, talk about it when you lie down, talk about it when you get up, talk about it when you're on the road, talk about it when you're at the dinner table, talk about it in the morning, talk about it in the evening, bind it on your foreheads, put it on the doorposts of your house, on the gateposts. What was he saying? Keep it on your lips, talk about it. He goes on and says, and meditate on it. That word meditate, literally in the Hebrew language, it's almost like, this might be an illustration that for some of you, that doesn't sound very good. Like a cow has seven stomachs, so a cow will chew grass, and a cow will cough it back up and chew on the grass a little bit more until all of a sudden it becomes, I don't know how something green can become white, but it does. Called milk. But meditate is almost like chewing your cud. Meditate on the word of God. Let it get inside of you. Let it take nourishment until what comes in you literally goes on the inside and becomes different. And then he goes on and says this, meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now you might say, Mark, why is this important? What kept Israel out of the promised land? What? I'll tell you what it was. The previous generation did not believe because of what they what? Saw. They went to look at the promised land, the 10 spies, the 12 spies, and 10 came back and says, we can't possess the land because we saw how big those people are and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes because of what they saw. It says we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. They saw the wrong thing. And the second reason why they couldn't possess the promised land is because they did not believe because of what they heard. Now, why is this important? Why did God say to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not let the book of law depart from you. No, obey it. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep it on your lips. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. If you're always talking the word, you're hearing the word, what's it going to do to the inside of you? It's going to give you faith, not fear. And what's fear? Fear and faith are the same exact things. Fear is believing in what you cannot see, and faith is believing what you cannot see. Fear is believing that those people are so big. Faith says, my God is so big, those people are small compared to my God. But why do you need it? He's saying, if you want to possess the promised land, have a dynamic relationship with the word of God, keep the word of God in your heart and your mind. And he goes on and says, in Romans, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. In other words, everything that's out there was made by the Almighty God. We don't walk by sight, but by what? Faith. That's why he's saying, be strong and courageous. Know the word. Do the word. Obey the word. The word, there's an acronym. W-O-R-D. W, you got to want it. O, you got to open it. R, you got to read it. D, you got to do it. The word. If you do that, you'll be strong and courageous, and you can possess the promised land because we walk not by faith, not by sight, but by faith. And all of a sudden, we there's a faith that realizes that what God's called us to do is doable because our God is bigger than the challenges. That's what the Word of God does. We need to have a dynamic relationship with the Word of God. The third thing God calls him to be strong and courageous for is be courageous in his perseverance. Now, how many want to know perseverance sometimes is hard? And I've seen in our culture, I think even the younger generation has a harder time sometimes persevering than the older generation, where things were a little harder for the older folks, and they just kind of worked through it, didn't have as many options. But the younger generation, it's like if it gets tough, let's just kind of jump ship and do something else. That's not a put down, but here's the deal. God is telling Joshua, in fact, I love what this verse says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. This is right after he told him to know the word of God. You'll be prosperous. You'll be successful if it's inside of you. You obey it. You do it. You'll know what to do. You'll know. He says, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See, I'm convinced we need strength and courage to get past two emotions that perseverance have to overcome. When you persevere, you can be undermined by two powerful emotions, fear and discouragement. How many of you guys love the feeling of fear? I hate fear. How many of you guys love discouragement? Raise your hand. You just love discouragement. Yeah, bring it on, Pastor. Bring it on, Mark. You know, no, we hate that. And it's difficult to walk through fear and walk through discouragement, and it's no fun. And there's times it's hard to get our chin off our chest as we walk through those difficult things. But I read this today. Fear is the stories we tell ourselves. The mind monsters. And I don't know what the Israelites were telling themselves. I know at times they're like, if we just went back where it was easier, we could go back to Egypt and at least we had three square meals a day and the food was better. And I don't know what they had to talk to, but Joshua followed Moses, the most incredible leader in the history of Israel. And God's saying, be strong and courageous and do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, because fear is the dark room where the negatives of our life get developed. Say it again. Fear is the dark room where the negatives in our life get developed. If there are negatives in your life and fear comes on top of, and there's this fear that comes over you, then guess what? The negatives get developed and you start, well, if this happens, this is what's gonna happen. If they talk to me this way. Have you ever developed negatives in your mind that never happened because you played with the fear? I read this today. Fear is an idea crippling, experience crushing, success stalling inhibitor inflicted only by ourselves. And there's three faces of fear. And I want to just quickly go through them today. It's three faces of fear. Number one, there's the fear of failure. And I think for the Israel, the fear of failure is, I've never done this before. I've never crossed a river before. I've never gone over there. What's your fear of failure? I've never done this. Can I do that? Number two, the fear of the unknown. I've never been this way. I don't know what it looks like. Do I have the strength to do it? Who's gonna come along and help me? Am I out here all on my own? And the fear of the unknown, like, am I gonna be able to handle? And then number three, the fear of a new level of commitment. Why do some Christians not go to the next level? Because it's the fear of, well, the unknown, what's it gonna look like and what level of commitment? If I make that commitment, what has to change in my life? Once Joshua led Israel past the Jordan River, there was no going back. If some of you want to go to the next level in your faith with Jesus, then guess what? You have to be strong and courageous and overcome fear. Don't be afraid. Let faith be stronger than fear, which is why I believe he said, be strong and courageous. Don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Let your lips always be saying things. Why? Because so you have the faith. There's the fear, but there's also discouragement. There's two types of discouragement. I think there's discourage. It's where you're drained of courage. We'll talk a lot more about this in this series, because as you read the book of Joshua, the number of times you'll see that the Israelites' enemies, it says that their hearts melted with fear. They lost heart. Courage is when you lose heart. Discouragement is when you lose heart. Courage is when your heart is full, it's strong, it's robust. Let's go to hell with a squirt gun. That's what faith says, when you're full of courage. But when you're discouraged, there's no courage. But there's another kind of discouragement. I call it discourage. It's where it's dysfunctional courage. It's pride and arrogance. Moses, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Moses, when God said, speak to the rock, in his anger and frustration with God's people and how they were treating him, he was angry, and God said, speak to the rock. What's he do? He hit the rock and beat the rock. Why? Because of his pride that says, I've done it this way before, it'll work again. And I can tell you right now, if you're crossing over to a new land, you cannot rely upon yesterday's victories alone. Pride comes before a fall. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. Anyone want grace or pride? Grace is when God comes alongside in humility and says, you know, you plus God's the majority. And I want to encourage you right now. If you've been full of fear or discouragement, know that you plus God is the majority. Now, I want to close every week as I talk through this series on possibilities. I want to close with what I would call crossover axioms. I want to bring it down and say, okay, here's where the rubber meets the road. And I have four crossover axioms I want to close with tonight. And the first crossover axiom is the Lord's I promises need to be bigger than what our eyes see. Because sometimes we forget that God's promises need to be bigger than the things we see in front of us. How many want to know you see challenges and you see obstacles and you see the things that are they're difficult? Because I think the devil wants to point out all the reasons why you can't make it. But how many want to know when God says, I will be with you like I was with Moses, that's the promise of presence. He said, I will give you everywhere you put your foot. Go take the land. No one will stand against you. That's the power of God's power and the promise of God's protection. He needed to have that in his mind, not how big the obstacles were. And he says, I will be with you like I was with Moses. That promise of presence. We need to know the promises of God. And I want to encourage, which is another reason why you need to have your face in his book. Not your face in Facebook, but your face in his book. If the word of God is in us and it's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and the word of God gives us power, it's Holy Ghost detergent for our mind, and it washes us and refreshes us and gives us strength. If we hide the word of God in our heart, the Bible says young people will keep themselves pure by hiding it in their heart. Yes. If we have the word of God, and we meditate on it, and it's on our lips throughout the day, and we obey what it says, and don't go to the right or to the left. The promises of God are powerful, and we'll begin to believe what God says about us, not what the world says about it, or what the devil tells us about ourselves. Amen? Yes. And number two, success and prosperity come from knowing and doing God's will. I don't have time to unpack this today, but I encourage you to go back and study this text and pull out like blueletterbible.com. There's an app you can download and look at the Greek word for success and prosperous. The word success here means you will know what to do. It's the same word interchanged with wisdom in the Old Testament. If you study the law and you obey the law and you know the law and it's on your mouth, you'll know what to do. Say no. How many know half of life is knowing what to do? Right? And that word prosper literally means to do it. There's a story where Abraham sends a servant out to find a wife for his son Isaac. Remember that story? And the servant gets out there and says, Lord, would you grant me success in my journey today? That word success is wisdom. And after he finds the girl to take her back, he says, Lord, thank you for granting me success on my journey. And that word success was thank you for helping me know what to do, but be able to complete what you asked me to do. He gets home to Abraham and says, God has allowed me to be prosperous in this journey. In other words, I knew what I was supposed to do. I had wisdom and I did it. That's why we have to know the word of God. We have to have it inside of it. Is success and prosperity come from knowing and doing God's will. It has nothing to do with the size of your bank account. It has nothing to do with what size of town you live on. It has nothing to do with what educational level you have. It has to do with you know and do the word of God. That's success in the kingdom of God. You want to cross over? It's not crossing over to another economic status or an educational boundary. If you want to cross over, you know and do God's word. And how many want to know? If you do that, I'll tell you right now, life works better. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they'll say it works if you work it. It works if you work it. The third crossover principle is God's will includes both his promises and his boundaries. It's amazing how I've met some people who can claim the promises of God, but to live their life as if there's no boundaries. Well, how come God's not doing this and they're living their life over here? They're choosing their little pet sins they can choose to keep feeding over here and keep doing over here. And they wonder why God's not coming through, because they'll claim the promises of God, but they won't live the boundaries. If you read Joshua, he said, I'll give you everywhere you put your foot, but there's some boundaries within that context. These are how I want you to live your life. And how many want to know the Bible is very clear on how what God has for us with promises, but it also has boundaries. And if some of you want to cross over, some of you need to be aware of the boundaries of God, that God says it is not God's will that you should be sexually immoral. It's not God's will. There's a whole lot of, I always explain God's will like a stoplight. There's the green lights, that means what? Go. There's the red light, that means what? Stop. And there's the yellow light, that means go faster. No, it means to look for the cops. It's the areas in your life, the yellow light issues. And so many of us get hung up on the yellow light issues of life. What job should I have? Should I take this? Should I go to this school? Should I date this person? Should I buy this house or not? Should I buy this car or not? We get hung up on the stuff that I don't think God cares about as much. He cares about the green and reds. He cares about the green lights and the red lights. The yellow lights, it doesn't matter if you're a lawyer or a doctor or a CPA. God's word talks about the type of lawyer, the type of CPA, the type of doctor God wants you to be. The character of God. And you know that through his promises and his boundaries. And so understand, that's why the word, that's why God told Joshua, don't turn to the right or to the left. Walk where God's asked you to walk. Obey what God has said you to do. And if you do that, you'll be prosperous and successful. And the fourth crossover principle is don't trust your gut, trust God's book. When I say my gut, he said, be strong and courageous. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. How many want to know your emotions are real? But how many want to know you can't trust your emotions? If you don't remember, go back to junior high. If some of you are in junior high, we pray for you right now. Go back to junior high where you thought, oh, I'm going to marry that girl or whatever, that guy, you know. In junior high when your hormones are raging, all that stuff. You can't trust your emotions. The Bible says your heart is what? Deceitfully wicked, who can know it? You can't trust all your emotions. You got to trust his book. If you know his book and you don't walk to the right or the left and you obey and you keep it on your lips and you meditate on it, you'll be prosperous and successful. It doesn't matter only if there's fear or discouragement. Trust his book, not always your gut. Does that make sense? I want to share this story as I close today. But when I was in Las Vegas, I remember going through a difficult season when I was youth pastor. I felt like, honestly, like quitting ministry. I was done. I actually had my letter of resignation written. And I remember going to the altar that night to pray. I said, God, why do I feel like this? And I heard God say this weird little word, you have a root of rejection in your life. I'm like, what's a root of rejection? I didn't know what that meant. Went to the altar and literally I'm at the altar. And it was one of these services where they actually shut lights off and left me at the altar. I mean, I cried. I was there for a couple hours as I had in my mind what I would call a prophetic encounter with God, where God showed me a picture of my life, a picture of where I currently was at, a picture of some things that happened when I was a child. And it's like layers of onion peeled off. And I realized I was viewing my life through my past experiences with challenges with my father, my earthly father, and challenges I had with some staff members where I currently was. And I was filtering these things. And I got to a place where I remember that night getting up from the altar, going home. I went to bed. And the next morning I woke up about 5 o'clock and I heard God say, Mark, come spend time with me. This for me was a crossover point in my life. I'm an adult. I have a couple children. I'm happily married. I have 600 students in my youth ministry. So from the perspective of the world and ministry circles, I was very successful as a youth pastor. But I was empty and hurt and felt like quitting. I was burnt out. I was tired. And I remember waking up at 5 o'clock. I heard God say, I want to spend time with you. You're my best friend. And I went to my little prayer room in my office. I said, God, what do you want to talk about? And he took me to John chapter 15. And I stayed in John 15 for a month. And I started memorizing, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, like my words abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. And I started reading all this thing, and I realized, oh my goodness, the goal of life is not fruit. The goal of life is intimacy with Jesus. And if I have intimacy with him and his word, fruit comes from that. For all my life, and I say this, all my life, the goal was fruit. If I could run faster, if I could be a better student, get a straight A's, if I could have the largest youth ministry in the air, if I could do all this stuff. And God goes, it's not about that. It's about intimacy with me. And then the Bible says, if the love of the Father's in you like it's in me, your joy will be complete. You want joy? It comes through an intimate relationship with Jesus, which comes through his word and through intimacy with him. It doesn't come from all the outward excrements of hard work. And I remember, I started living this. I lived in freedom, and this I call it a crossover moment where I realized I didn't have to live feeling like I had to work harder to be approved and have value and love and all that. I didn't have to have a certain salary, all this stuff. And I remember one day my pastor called me up. He said, Mark, could you come to my office? And our church had grown rapidly, and I was in the back 40 in a portable unit in an office complex, and I'm walking down the metal sidewalk to where the cement sidewalk began, the office complex, and I'm walking over there, and I heard this voice that says, what are you in trouble for this time? And for the first time in my life, look at me, I realized every time my pastor called me to his office, I thought I was in trouble. And I caught it for the first time, and I said, devil, I'm not in trouble. My pastor's calling me up because I'm the most creative person on staff and he wants an idea from me. True story. And I rebuked that lie from the devil that sat through here. My gut was telling me I was in trouble. But my book says I'm a son of God who loves me, and I'm called by, and I go from glory to glory, and God's got great things. And if I can be strong and courageous, I don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. And I walked into my pastor's office and said, Mark, I'm struggling. I need some creative ideas. And I can tell you right now, and you probably know me as a confident person, and I feel like I am confident. I'm strong and courageous. I have weak times, but I used to struggle. I was the most insecure leader you've ever met in your entire life, and most of you would never know that. Most of my leaders never knew that, because I could organize my life and be all organized, and I could make it look like I was prepared. I could work extra hours, so when they all showed up, they thought I was perfect. And I lost all that, because guess what? That stuff doesn't matter. What matters is intimacy with Jesus. My strength comes from him. Fruit comes from him. If maybe you're here today and you are at a place in your life and you're just like, you need to cross over. I don't know what you're crossover. For me, I had to be strong and courageous. God had to, and God gave that to me when I got a deep relationship with him and his word. And I want to pray over you today. And then we're going to receive the offer, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to have a time of altar. If you want to open the altars up, maybe some of you want special prayer tonight, but I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for everyone that's here tonight, everyone listening online today. Lord, I pray that you would be with them and help us to be people who are strong and courageous. In your name we pray. Amen.